Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back rockin'.
Let's start the show.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Friday, y'all. Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. I'm Tay. Eric Taylor should be joined pretty soon by Ray.
Hello,
Ray.
Hello, and welcome
there
to the show. Some technical difficulties, but we're
it's
on
football.
Live.
Woo!
Let's do it,
welcome
man.
To
well,
the
listen,
show.
Everybody, give us a call. Let's talk week one, all the stuff going on in sports. We'll get you ready for a busy sports weekend. 718-664-9098. Like always, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We got to read some of these Super Bowl predictions from people that have been sending them in. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Like us on Facebook. We're going to jump right into the game, get you some tennis, Ray, all the good stuff, MLB, FIBA, college football. Let's get into it. I got the first question. Tal Rayside, are you ready to change your Super Bowl pick after the 36-16 smackdown of my Seattle Seahawks, baby? What's your thoughts?
You know, I usually don't overreact, but when you're a defending champ, we saw you for 16 regular season games and then 3 postseason games. So we saw you for 19 games and now 20 games. Seattle is tough to beat. You need to play almost the perfect game to beat Seattle, and you need to be tough, and you need to be able to punch them in the mouth, because if you don't, they'll punch you in the mouth. Ask the Denver Broncos. So I don't like to overreact, but it's hard
impressive.
For me to see. It was impressive. Now, albeit it was at home, but you gotta figure if they go 13-3, 12-4, they'll probably play every game until the Super Bowl at home. So I've got to see some more and see if some teams in the NFL can play with Seattle. But right now, after what I saw last night, they've got to be the favorite to go back to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. I still want to see Denver. I still want to see New Orleans. I still want to
right.
see San Francisco. But, yeah, they played great. They played,
they did.
Wow. And that's against Aaron Rodgers.
No, definitely, and that's sort of my the reason why, you know, you don't put anything in preseason, but the few things that I saw in preseason, I saw the speed and the emergence of Curse, who didn't even do anything last night, and then also having Percy Harvin for a full year, and you saw what a toy that is. You could do a Percy Harvin, but the maturity of Russell Wilson, this guy keeps getting better and better and better, and yeah, 191 yards, but it's how he does it, what he does it, what they need, and guess what? They still, offensive, defensive line, smack you in the mouth with beast mode. But my problem is you cannot be the Packers and not even throw to Richard Sherman. You've got to challenge the man. I mean, people were ripping the Packers all day, all over ESPN, everywhere about this, Twitter, because I don't understand McCarthy and or Rodgers. How could you not test him? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he kept throwing Boykins out there to him, and, you know, they go to Jordy Nelson, then after a while, Nelson, you know, got slowed down, and they switched the coverage over to him because, you know, they weren't even challenging Richard Sherman. The guy is good, but you can't respect him that much, Ray. And now Bulaga is out 8 to 10 weeks, MCL strain in the same knee where he had the ACL. So thank goodness it wasn't another ACL, but – you know, the offensive line, they had the rookie center in there. He had a couple issues. Aaron Rodgers was yelling at him for a minute. And then Eddie Lacy, another concussion. So it didn't look too great
Packers
for me
are a
for
mess.
The Packers.
Packers are a mess.
And again, that defense is not, it's not scaring anybody. It just isn't.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble. I mean, look, I still think they're a good team. They're definitely not an elite team, though. But they have to lick their wounds, go back to Green Bay. Now, lucky for them, they get our Jets next week. And I think they'll quickly dispose of the Jets. But
well, they better heal up for 9 days.
They better heal up first, exactly.
I love it. Beast Mode, basically what Beast Mode showed you is like, you know what, I've earned my money and I deserve, you know, that little contract shuffle or whatever they did, I deserve every penny. The man, Marshawn Lynch, is the man, y'all. He's incredible. I'm just upset that I don't have him on my fantasy teams to root for him because the guy is so fun to watch.
He is. And he'll do big things this year. I mean, there's no reason to think that that team will not put him in a position to score a lot of touchdowns. And he'll get his normal 1,200 yards. He'll get 10 touchdowns. That's beast mode. I mean, he is what he is. He stays healthy. He's an elite running back.
So, look, we're going to pick games later on, give people some fantasy. Let's get to all the other stuff that's going on in the sports world. Ray, let me know what's going on with the men and the women. Obviously, Serena just won a little while ago, 6-1, 6-3. And then our girl is back. Tell us about Rory's ex-fiance.
Caroline Wozniacki. So she actually got a little bit of a pass because her opponent, Peng Shuai, retired in the second set because of heat illness. She actually left the court in a wheelchair, so that's not a good look. We hope she's all right.
4-3.
Yeah.
It was only 4-3 in the second, yeah.
Right, exactly. Hopefully it's just heat and no big deal. You get rehydrated. So that's on the women's side. Now, keep in mind, Serena's won 20 in a row at the U.S. Open. So if she wins 21 in a row, she'll win her third straight title. So
she's on fire.
Serena's on fire. Yeah. That's why when we were doing our predictions, it's hard not to predict Serena. And then on the other side, we've got an interesting – we're only up to the semis with the men.
Yeah,
so we've got Djokovic in one bracket against the Japanese Nishikori. And then the Croatian, Cilic against Federer. And the other side. So if both the favorites win, we've got a Federer Djokovic final, and the last
classic.
Few times they've met, there have been good matches, but ultimately the younger guys prevailed. So it would be great to see one versus two on the men's side.
Don't you feel like the crowd is great? Oh yeah, no. But don't you feel
side.
Like the crowd is kind of rooting for Federer, like they used to for McEnroe and Connors when they got older?
You know,
I kind of feel like Federer is the fan favorite now.
That's what's cool about – maybe it's the U.S. Open, maybe it's the American
fans. It is the U.S. Open, yeah.
It's as if you're the bad guy and you're the dominant guy for most of your career, but then when they see that you're on your way down and you're on the downside of your career, they respect all that you've done, and they want to see you go out with a bang. So Novak has many years ahead of him. Federer probably just has, you know, a handful or a couple of.
And how about Federer's
comeback
the other night? That was amazing, his comeback.
Yeah.
Down two sets. Yeah.
Against Monfils. Down two sets. He's done it 9 times. So that's pretty amazing to be down 9 times. And he was down 2 breaks in the fourth set. So he didn't just come back on the scene. And then he ends up winning the fifth in the deciding set 6-2. So Monfils ran out of gas, but give Federer credit, you know, at his advanced age, which is so funny because in real life he's not that old, but when you're in your mid-30s in tennis, that's old. So great. Hopefully that's the final we'll see on Sunday. We'll see Federer and Djokovic.
So a couple other things. We got to talk a little bit about this fever. Kyrie Irving's okay. That fall did not look good. I was nervous. I was like, oh, goodness, please don't let this USA basketball team just be cursed. But Kyrie will play on Saturday against Mexico. And basically, Ray, we all know this. Everybody's playing for the bronze. And I don't know if you saw, Dragic put out a tweet about, you know, the Australians basically forfeiting a game so they could be in the third bracket and not in second place so they could play, in the semifinal.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, to not have to play the U.S. till the semifinals.
That's horrible.
You don't do that. That's classless. So Dragic went to Twitter with that.
What did your boy say? You play to win the game.
And it's going to be Spain-USA. And the question is, you know, can we just be? But you know what's so funny? I got to say, watching these games, Kenneth Faried and Anthony Davis have been our best two players by far. Not even a question. You know? They look good.
I can't. You're absolutely right. There's no there's no denying it. Now, look, Anthony Davis is about to be a star. I mean,
yeah,
this kid is the real deal.
It's coming, yeah.
And Kenneth Faried is, you know, he's a very talented hustle. That's why when they were talking about Kenneth Faried to the Knicks for Iman Shumpert, I was like, don't even finish the sentence. Kenneth Faried, you don't even have to hear the E. You sign on the dotted line.
Oh,
so,
wait. I'm glad you mentioned the Knicks, though. I got to throw that in real quick. We just hired Jim Clemens and a couple of assistant coaches, but one of them is the guy that used to work with Durant in OKC and, you know, personally work with him when he was shooting and all this stuff. Ryan Teef, Durant's, like, go-to guy from the Thunder bench and his homie. So I don't know, Ray. That smells good. I like how that smells.
Oh, you smell me on that one?
I smell you on that one.
Oh, you're starting the Kevin Durant in New York 2015 already? 2016,
oh,
I guess?
Oh, baby. It's either there or Washington, but he's leaving OKC. It's a wrap. We don't even need to talk about that. It's a wrap. But we do need to talk about what's happening in baseball because the state of Texas just lost both their managers. So Houston fires their manager, and then your boy stepped down today,
yeah.
Ron Washington.
Yeah, Bo Porter got fired, so that's performance. Now, Texas has the worst record in baseball, so you could argue Ron Washington might get fired, although he did go to the World Series twice. I don't know. There's some personal issues. He said he stepped down for personal issues, so
right.
I got to believe something's going on. And we don't know what it is, but it'll come out probably in the next few weeks or maybe after the season. But, yeah, that's a little weird.
I wish him well. I wish him well.
I
He's
do
had
wish
a great
him well,
run.
Yeah, for sure.
A great run, you know. Definitely, you know, was a scrappy player and a pretty good manager, I got to say. I mean, he didn't always have, you know, he had hitters, but he didn't always have a pitching staff. And he got to the playoffs every year, you know, pretty much every year. I mean, the Rangers have been good for the last, what, 4 to 6 years? They've been a strong team.
Yeah, I think ultimately losing Nelson Cruz last year and then Josh Hamilton 2 years ago, they probably never recovered from that.
Yeah.
And then they had a lot of injuries in the pitching staff, and then you know they made a good trade to pick up Alex Rios, but they've got some personnel issues. They need to decide on where the franchise is going forward.
No, definitely. So let's look at these standings because you said it was going to happen, and Ray, it has happened. The Cardinals are steamrolling, and they've passed the Brewers. And so now with this NL wild card, it's like the Giants and then the Brewers and Braves are right there neck and neck. I mean, what are your thoughts? And obviously, you know, the Cardinals put it on the Pirates this past week or, you know, swept them. What do you think's going on with we'll start with the NL first. We normally go AL. Let's start with the NL. What do you think's going to play out here?
Yeah, so obviously Washington is in there as probably the number one seed in the National League. And then St. Louis, like I thought, they would start to pull away. You know who's interesting to me is the San Francisco Giants. The Dodgers cannot shake them.
They
so the Dodgers you thought were going to run away – and especially they got that pitching staff that's, you know.
But their bullpen is a little suspect.
Yeah, so the Dodgers are not, you know, not running away with it. And San Francisco, I guess they've won 7 of the last 10, so they're right behind them, 64 losses in the loss column. So that means they're right now number, yeah, they're the first wild card. So Milwaukee, Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's back in it, right? My Pittsburgh squad. So you've got Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Well, they're all for that second wild card. Milwaukee with 67
losses,
Atlanta with 67, and Pittsburgh with 68.
Right.
So they're all within one game in the loss column of each other.
Right.
So
and that's with the Pirates just losing a couple to the Cardinals. So good for the Pirates.
They've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, they're staying.
And
you
realize Milwaukee's lost 9 in a row.
No, this is a bad collapse, Ray. If they don't make the playoffs, the Milwaukee this is the type of collapse you could lose a fan base for a while. I mean, this is bad. After, you know, all they've been through with the steroid stuff and everything, they don't make the playoffs this year, that's going to be bad for the Brewers.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
You know
who's
running away
with it in the American League, though? The Baltimore
Orioles.
Oh,
the Orioles.
Orioles are.
Well, they're running away with it. Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, they're the lock in the AL. They might not get the number one seed, but they're certainly running away from the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And like I had suspected, the Angels are starting to pull away from Oakland. I think Oakland's not as good as their record, you know, indicated initially, but they're still very good. Don't get me wrong.
Well, getting Adam Jones is a help, but when you lose that bat, you lose Cespedes, man. I thought they gave up too much in that trade, and I said that when we had it on. But Cespedes is, you know, he's kind of a glue player.
Well, especially if they can't keep Lester. I mean, if they make this trade to go far in the playoffs, and then they lose in the first round, or even in that play-in round. And then they lose Lester. So
I thought it was like being greedy. They already had enough pitching. I thought it was like, you know what I mean? It was like being too greedy to me. They had already gotten Samardzija and the other guy. I mean, that's too much. I don't know. I'm kind of upset.
Yeah, they got to get Hamill, right?
Yeah.
Wait, so tell me what you think about – all right, so tell me what you think about the AL Central, though, with Kansas City and Detroit going
neck and neck. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got a three-game set, Royals-Yankees, like it's 1984 and 85 again. So I'm kind of torn because I want our Yankees to sweep the Royals. But I got to tell you, I want the Royals to hold on, win this division, let Detroit be a wild card this year. Let it be Detroit and Oakland, and you know, or even if Detroit bumps out, I won't be upset. You love to see your great players make it, but I'd like to even see Seattle get a shot. You know, I like it when new blood gets in. I mean, imagine the playoffs with the Mariners, the Angels coming back strong and having the Royals in it with the Orioles. Like, that would be classic, you know what I mean? So I think it's good for baseball. I just think that the Yankees, I don't think we have enough. I think Kansas City is going to probably beat us 2 out of 3 this weekend, but I would love to see the Yankees sweep the Royals. That would be awesome. I mean, we got 66 losses. It just doesn't look like we're going to be able to catch Detroit with 63, but three games. We'll see. You know?
Yeah, I've always said the Yankees will fall short, but at least they're being competitive. So at least these games in September mean something. So we get to see Jeter in competitive games.
Right, right. And look, in Seattle and Cano, the Mariners are not going anywhere. I got to give them a lot of credit. They are not going anywhere. Won 3 in a row and playing some good baseball. So it's exciting, you know, the baseball run. You know, we'll be talking about it a lot. It's definitely, you know, a good time. One other note I wanted to talk to you about before we get to the college football and NFL. Can the NCAA just stop it with Geno from the women's basketball team? They want to give him some sort of violations for calling Monet Davis, the young girl in the Philly team for the pitcher, the young 13-year-old. Please, he's not recruiting her. He called a congratulator. Stop it. I just think that this is so ridiculous, the NCAA. You know, I don't know.
It's so funny because there's so many bigger problems out there, like these football programs and these boosters and how they pay these kids and how they woo these kids and cash.
And guys driving Benzes on campus.
So you're worried about Gino Auriemma calling a 13-year-old girl from Philly who had a great run in
the Little League World Series.
Little League World
Series.
Different
sport. Yeah, it's like, are you
really?
For real?
That's what you're worried about? Okay. Worry about the kids graduating.
I know,
worried
right?
about, you know, worried about the bigger issues.
And then also I saw that Florida State, they are reopening up for Title IX, the investigation, the school doing another investigation on the Jameis Winston thing for the alleged charges of rape, which, you know, they didn't go further with it, the DA down there. So that's that thing's not going away. It's kind of lingering. And I don't know if I remember we talked about it. I mentioned it once on the show that the New York Times had done a huge article about it after it all went down, that's basically saying that they needed to do more. That, you know, they're kind of like protecting the situation, the school, and the great quarterback. So I don't know. But, you know, you just hope whatever happens that the right thing happens and justice or whatever gets served for, you know, the young lady if something bad did take place.
Yeah,
you know?
Nobody's above the law, right? No matter how good you are on the football field. So if he did what he's alleged to have done, then he needs to pay the price. And frankly, the prosecutors and everybody needs to treat him like he's anybody else.
And that's a big statement right there, though, that if it ever does come out that this sort of did go down and the whole, like, state of Florida was covering it up for a quarterback at a college, boy, we've got a lot of, you know, things to
fix. You've got a lot of explaining to do. You know what I mean?
Explaining, and you got to get your moral code together. That's crazy. But, you know, that's sports. It's sports. The power, man, the power. So, yo, let's rock to some beats and let's come back with some college football. We got three good games for you. And then the NFL, Ray and hey.
We're back to talk football. Pigskin, so we'll start with college and
end with
week one of the NFL. We started with the kickoff last night. We'll get into that. But let's start with college. Let's kick it off with college. We have a few marquee matchups this weekend.
Right. Two ranked matchups, and then we're gonna talk about one game the late game on NBC, the classic matchup, which is going to be ending probably for a couple of years. But let's talk about in the West Coast. Number 14 USC and number 13 Stanford. Obviously, Coach David Shaw, friends of the show, has been on with Ray and Tate today. Cody Kessler, there were some issues with him, but it looks like I think he's going to go and play for USC, the quarterback. I don't know. When I look at this game, I think USC has got some talent. They've got some speedsters. I like Allen, the running back. He can do some things. But I just think Stanford being at home, and even though USC has played them good the last couple of years, I think Stanford – I don't like Stanford's schedule this year, so that's why I picked Oregon winning the Pac-12. But I think Stanford with – Sanders and Montgomery and Hogan. I just think Coach David Shaw, they'll be able to hold them down enough, win a close game. I got Stanford 30-26 over USC.
Yeah, so to me, it all comes down to the offensive line of Stanford. And then can they stop Leonard Williams and that defensive line for USC. So I think because the game's in Palo Alto, and I think that the Stanford team, I predicted them to win the Pac-12 even over Oregon. I love that combination of Hogan and Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I think they have a little I think they'll be able to slow Kessler, Allen, and Smith down. I think that Stanford does just enough to win at home. I think they win a close game 24-23 at Stanford Stadium.
You think Sanders, and this is Barry's son, you think he's ready to step out and have a big game?
You know what? He didn't do much in the first game.
I think
he ran 40 or 50 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope so.
He's a young kid. I haven't seen enough of him, but the good thing is they don't need him. They need him, right? They need him to contribute,
right.
But they don't need him to run for 200 yards, right? They don't need a girly performance out of him. But he goes 15 for 198. They don't need a Todd Gurley performance out of him.
That's like my new favorite player right now. I think between Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley, they make college football exciting. Everybody's
passing
the ball.
I'll tell you what, Ty Montgomery, though, is kind of nice,
too.
No. Keep an eye on him.
He's a beast at Stanford. So let's move over to, I think, this could be one of the best games of the whole college football season. And maybe one of the two highest-ranked matchups. Number 7, Michigan State, goes to number 3, Oregon. Ray, this could potentially be a classic. I don't know. For me, I mean, this is like Rose Bowl preview, Big Ten, Pac-10. I think when I look at Michigan State, they did, put some guys to the pros. They still have Lanford running it. Of course, Cook at quarterback. Some decent receivers.
Connor Cook, that's your boy.
Yeah, I think Cook is ready, man. But I just what Oregon has and what Oregon can do at home with Marshall and Mariota, I mean, it's explosive. It's deadly. I got a funny feeling, though, Michigan State will be able to sort of withhold that first half flurry and just be able to pound them and wear them down. They got a lot of strength and a lot of size. They beat Stanford in the Rose Bowl. I think they're similar to Stanford. And once they adjust to Oregon's speed and how they play and get used to it, they'll calm things down there in Eugene. And I think Michigan State will pull off the minor upset. And I got Michigan State winning. I'll go 28-27.
Wow. Okay. So Michigan State lost six defensive starters, which bothers me. But I still think they're a great team. I still think they have a lot of oomph. And they have the All-America defensive end, Calhoun, and they have Taiwan Jones. They have some very capable starters on defense.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, can they keep up on offense with Oregon? Because you know Oregon's going to score. So you know between Mariota and Marshall and those troops, they're going to score. So you said Connor Cook. You realize that he sat the second half and had thrown 285 yards last game. So he did his thing.
Yeah, he's
so can Michigan State score enough? I think this is a bad matchup. I still think Michigan State's going to be in the Final Four at the end of the year. I just think, like boxing, this is a bad matchup. And going to Eugene and being spread out and having to play the Oregon. Now, they knew they were playing Oregon, so the good thing is it's the second game on the schedule. So in the summertime, you can believe that Mark D'Antonio was having them prepare, even though they want to overlook their first opponent. They were having them prepare for Oregon. But I just think that that Oregon system that they run up there is so hard. Unless you're a Pac-12 team, it's really hard. Or it's before a bowl game. You know, it's really hard to prepare for them. So I don't know. I like Michigan State overall. I just think this is a bad matchup. So I think Oregon wins this game 30-24.
Okay, well, our friends at the show, George Reiser, would be happy to hear you say that because, you know, he's definitely all about his Oregon Ducks. Let's get to our third game. This is close to our heart because we don't really like one of the schools and we love the other one. We, Ray and Tay, are, you know, it's on our rayandtaytoday.com in terms of our fandom, what teams we like, and we love Michigan football, Michigan Wolverines. The last couple of matchups with Michigan and number 16 Notre Dame, the home team has won. I think Everett Golston is back, and I think the kid has matured and looks good. And to me, I don't know if Gardner's ready to go into Notre Dame. This is the last time they're going to be playing for probably a while, a couple of years with Notre Dame playing a lot of, you know, playing a lot of ACC teams now.
ACC teams, yeah. Three per year, right?
It's going to increase, I think. So, yeah, I don't know if Gardner – now, look, Gardner, I think, is at a point where he's due and ready for, like, a come-out game. If he's ever going to have one, this would be it. So for him to go into Notre Dame and to take care of the Irish. But I think what you're going to see is Golston and I think Notre Dame – is going to be a little bit too much. I like, you know, I think he'll be able to get the ball to Fuller. You know, I think, you know, a couple of their running backs, Brian, and some of their, you know, other backs will be, you know, efficient. And I think Notre Dame will take care of Michigan. You know, my heart says Michigan, and I want Michigan to win. Oof, I got Notre Dame 27-24.
I've got to agree with you on the outcome. I think that Devin Gardner and Funchess Green, Smith, they've got some weapons.
Green can make a difference. Green could make a difference if he goes crazy.
If he runs and goes crazy. Yeah, they could make a difference. And they will be close in the first half. I just think ultimately, because this game's in South Bend, that Notre Dame pulls it out. Notre Dame kind of runs away in the second half. I'm not sure that Michigan can put up the requisite points. I think Golson is going to be hungry. He had to sit out last year. I think he's still got it playing with a chip on his shoulder. So I think Notre Dame at home takes care of business. I'd say 27-20.
27-20. Yeah, it's a good weekend. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, first 2 weeks there are a lot of cupcake games, and you don't get into your conference play, so those games will be good. You know, teams like Florida State playing Citadel, and you know, Bama and these guys playing some cupcakes. One thing that'll be interesting though, and Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss has really improved, and they're playing Vandy in the SEC, so that should be interesting. But I think this Ole Miss team, Ray, they might Ole Miss and Texas A&M might have something to say about what happens in the great SEC this year and how it all, you know, plays out. So that should be college football, man, should be fun. So are you ready? Let's do the NFL. Listen, we talked about the games we're going to talk about. I got two other games that we didn't mention we got to throw in there. So I want to hit those to you first for all of our fans out there. Number one, my Pittsburgh Steelers are hosting the Cleveland Browns. I think Cleveland is improved. We both feel that way. I think the Josh Gordon thing just kills them. I think the Steelers at home, I mean, you hope Hoyer can stay in there the whole time. I don't know if they'll wind up seeing Johnny. But I think Pittsburgh is ready, even though Lance Moore and Martavius Bryant, the receivers, might not play. I think you're going to see stuff from Dre Archer. I think Big Ben and our young defense is, you know, getting ready, even though with some veterans. I think the Steelers pull away pretty good, 26-13 over the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I don't know why this is even interesting to you, other than you being a Pittsburgh
fan. Because of my Steelers,
fan.
Baby. Because of my Steelers.
All right. We'll talk about it. I think Pittsburgh's too much. I think finally Ben is going to be comfortable in the offensive system. I think if the line stays healthy and they can protect him, that Ben has enough weapons. As long as that running back situation is stable, I think he's got enough weapons on the outside, up the middle, and then with those rotating running backs, I think your Steelers are fine, especially against Cleveland. So I think they go out and take care of business. I don't look for much for Cleveland. Like I said, I think in the first 6 to 8 games they'll go, you know, 2-6, maybe 3-5 if at most. So I think Johnny Manziel will get in there sooner than later. But right now I got Pittsburgh winning like 24-9.
Okay. So now this year, a little something different. I think for each game we sort of preview, we need to give everybody like a fantasy star. So for this game, Pittsburgh-Cleveland, for me, I'm going to go with Antonio Brown, even going up against Hayden. His past couple of games,
okay,
he's done well against him. And I could see him getting about 8 catches, you know, a touchdown, 90-something yards. So for that game, I'll go with Antonio Brown. Who would you pick?
You know what? I would have said Antonio Brown, but I won't. I have a sneaky feeling that Ben Roethlisberger is going to have a good game. He'll spread it around. He'll get some touchdowns. Maybe in the goal line situation, he may even run one in. So maybe he'll throw for two and run for one because of a little bit of that uncertainty at running back. I think Ben Roethlisberger will take the game into his own hands. So I like Ben for maybe 2 or 3 touchdowns. Maybe he won't throw for 400, but he'll, you know, he'll throw for 250, 280. So I like Big Ben in this game.
All right, before we get to the classic game of the Jets and Raiders, let's talk, for all of our D.C. fans, let's talk about the Washington Redskins going to the Houston Texans. This one's interesting. The number one pick, Clowney, against the new coach, Jay Gruden, and RG3 and all his new toys. I got a funny feeling, Ray, that the Washington line is not ready yet, and the Texans' defense overall, they don't give up and have not given up big plays down the field. So that will ice out DeSean Jackson. Jordan Reed's playing. His thumb's a little banged up, but he'll probably play. I think the Texans beat the Redskins, throw off RG3. I'll say good game, though. I'll say 24-20. And And let me give you, and I'll give you my fantasy stud. I'll go Arian Foster, a touchdown and 100 plus yards, 120, maybe 120 yards rushing. And
okay.
A big comeback for Foster.
I like RG3. I like RG3 coming back. If this game weren't in Reliant Stadium, I'd say it'd be a blowout.
Ooh.
But because it's in Reliant Stadium, I think it'll be close. But I think the Redskins win this. So I hate all of our Houston Texans fans down there in the great state of Texas. Don't be mad at me, but I call
Don't
it like
mad.
It is.
Well, our boy
and
Sean
like
is going to be happy. He's a Redskins fan. So,
like you said, the Texans have a lot to prove, and Arian Foster's on a comeback, but so does RG3. I think RG3 has a lot to prove. I think he'll get better as the season goes on. He'll start to understand Gruden's system. Gruden's an offensive guy. That's good. Get all that Schottenheimer, get all the old system out.
Yeah.
And my guy, though, is not a running is a running back, right? My guy's Alfred Morris, because I think that between Reed and Garcon and DeSean Jackson, they're going to be so concerned about getting beat deep that they're going to leave the middle of that field wide open. And I think that out of the backfield, both as a receiver but really as a runner, I think Alfred Morris is going to have a big game. He'll go for 110, 120, and two touchdowns. So I like the Redskins in this game, and I like Alfred Morris.
There you go. All right, the Oakland Raiders fly out the East Coast to play our New York Jets. This one's going to be interesting. The first rookie quarterback to start in Raiders history and the only one starting this year from this draft class, Derek Carr. I think Schaub, I don't know. I think he's done a little bit of the elbow, but I think Derek Carr just played so much better and was amazing in preseason. I think what's going to happen here is that the Jets will be able to stop that run, and it's going to be Carr to try to win the game. And I just don't think he can handle Rex and these blitzes. I think the Jets win a very bizarre, weird game, sort of like I'll go 19-16 Jets over the Raiders. My fantasy stud, though, is going to be a guy that I got playing in one of my leagues. I think he'll get a touchdown and about 80 to 90 yards on that Jets secondary is James Jones from the Packers. He likes Derek Carr, and the two of them will hook it up.
Wow. Okay. I believe the Jets are going to win this game, and they're going to win pretty easily. Not sure that David Carr is ready. Now, in 6-8 weeks, maybe he'll be more ready, but I'm not sure
David's
he's ready.
Well, David's not ready because David's old. You mean Derek.
Derek Carr. Yeah, no, you're right. So I'm not sure Derek Carr is ready. So he has some very experienced running backs, right? I love the fact that they picked up Maurice Jones-Drew. And you know our boy from Arkansas can still play Darren McFadden, or at least he's still fast, right? So he and Chris Johnson are both on this, like, show-me program along with MJD.
Yep.
But I just think they're not ready. I just think they're not ready to come into MetLife Stadium. The Jets, we know, can still play D. Question marks on offense, but I think that that talent infusion that they got this year is going to be big. I believe that the Jets' big player is going to be Eric Decker. I see Eric Decker on a PPR basis doing fine. I think he'll get 8 or 9 catches, maybe 90 yards, and a touchdown. So not enormous stats, but certainly if you're PPR, that's a nice little performance for you. I don't think any Jet will give you enormous stats the whole year just because that's just not the way their offense is wired. But I like the Jets to win this game. Call it 21-10.
21-10. I like it. All righty. Let's go down to Baltimore, the Cincinnati Bengals. We both picked to win the AFC Central, the North. AFC Central, that's old school, right? The Bengals at the Ravens, the division clash. You know what? Andy Dalton has not fared well against the Ravens. I think that continues. He'll get stats, but I think Baltimore, even without Ray Rice, I think it's Flacco's game to win. I think Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Owen Daniels, Pitta, Pierce rushing for 50 yards maybe. I think Baltimore winds up winning this game 27-23. And I think my stat guy of the game is, I think it's going to be Joe Flacco. I think Flacco will throw for 2 touchdowns, about 310, and he'll be the fantasy star of this game for the Baltimore Ravens.
I like the Baltimore Ravens, but I like Cincinnati more. I think Andy Dalton is a very decent quarterback. He got his money, $16 million a year, not the $20 million that the elite guys were getting, but he's in that second tier of quarterbacks, but he's above average. He's a good quarterback. And he's got a stud by the name of A.J. Green. And And they've got to figure out their running situation, obviously, because when the law firm left, they went with, you know, the young Gio Bernard out of North Carolina and then the kid from LSU, Hill. So if they get that situation straight, then I think that offense is going to start humming again. And I just don't think you have an answer for A.J. Green. He's bigger, better, stronger, and much faster
much
than
faster.
Those cornerbacks that are trying to cover him. So even though Baltimore is a good team, I think they don't hit full stride until 4 or 5 games into the season when Ray Rice is back. They just couldn't run the ball. And if you can't run the ball, I think you can get to Flacco, you can fluster him, and even though he's got more talent now at wide receiver with Pitta, Daniels, like you said, Steve Smith, and Torrey Smith, I think that without a running game, this is right when they're ripe to be picked off, at even at home. So I like Cincinnati in this game. I like them 28-21. And
do you like that defense? The Bengals defense on the road?
I don't, but I think they can do enough to disrupt Flacco. Now, they did have some injury problems, especially on the line. They have some questions in the secondary. But to me, because the Ravens can't run the ball, I think that that will be to Cincinnati's advantage, and Cincinnati will take advantage of it.
Okay. I think it's going to be one of those good games, and it could go either way. Now, this one's interesting. The New England Patriots, with Brady and Gronk both playing at the Miami Dolphins, no Rashard Jones, but the Dolphins, ladies and gentlemen, they are improved. Our friend to the show, our good friend Hank, is a Dolphins fan. Surprised he's not calling in. But Miami, if they are going to make a statement this year and if they are going to stand for anything, they've got to upset the Patriots. And I don't believe it will happen. I think my fantasy star of this game is the New England Patriots defense, who will get a couple of sacks, an interception, a fumble recovery. I think the Patriots go down to Miami, and they set the tone for the season. I think it's Ridley, Vereen. I think you'll see Gronk, you know, a touchdown, 80 yards, 6 receptions. And I think the Patriots put it on the Dolphins. How about 30-13.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I think they're going to put it on them. I want to see Tannehill develop into an elite quarterback. Yeah. Mike Wallace got the money, but now he's got to produce. I think this kid Charles Clay is decent.
And you know, Revis is going to lock him.
Yeah, he might. I think this is a blowout like you do. I think this is an absolute blowout. And to me, the player of the game. Now, you know you draft them in the last round, although there are some people that draft kickers real early. But, you know, Ray Antego with the philosophy of you draft the kicker in the last round, maybe the second to last round, but certainly towards the back end of the draft. But I think the player, who I would never get because I would never go up early enough to get him, but I think Steven Gostkowski is the player of the game. I think he hits maybe 4 field goals and 3 or 4 extra points. I think they put it on them. I think they win something like 35-13.
Girl, put it on me. I think it's going to be a rough day. But you know what's so funny? If they ever do pull this upset, that could be the thing that could make the Dolphins season and maybe get an AFC wild card. So that's one to just keep an eye on. So this is one for Ray. This is interesting. We've got the San Francisco 49ers at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are so injured on defense. The Niners have got issues. Ray McDonald will play. No Bowman, no Alden Smith. Let's see how the running backs and receivers are doing. I'm going to tell you, in this game, I think the Cowboys will play as well as they could, and I think they'll be able to move the ball on this Niners defense. Well, the Niners secondary will be tested. I think Dez Bryant will be a stud. But I think my fantasy stud is going to have to go to an old, savvy veteran by the name of Frank Gore. Frank Gore will put in 2 touchdowns. The Niners will handle the Cowboys. I say it'll get a little bit closer than people would think. I'll say 26-20. You know, Romo and Dez will get their stats, but I got the Niners winning 26-20, Frank Gore about 115, 2 touchdowns.
So, you know, I love my Cowboys.
How about
but
them
I'm
Cowboys?
Realistic as you can be. So I think that if this game were in San Francisco, the new Levi Stadium, it would be a blowout.
And that's the highest ticket in the NFL, right? You
yeah,
saw that?
Yeah.
That's expensive.
That's crazy.
Levi,
I still think the NFL is not ready for my Cowboys to come back, probably because my Cowboys are not going to be very good this year. So,
will Michael Sam be activated?
I don't think he'll be activated for the game, but I think he'll play. I think he's definitely going to play. Once he learns the system, he's going to play. So the Cowboys fall behind. And they play from behind all games. So my fantasy stud is Dez Bryant. In a losing effort, I think Dez Bryant might catch 10 balls, 130, maybe one touchdown, two touchdowns. But I think ultimately San Francisco, even though they've looked horrible in the preseason, especially on offense, and then obviously on defense they're banged up, I think San Francisco wins the game. They basically play from ahead all game, and they win 31-27 in Texas Stadium.
Mm. Okay, wow. You got a lot of points up there. That should be fun. I think this will be a better, more entertaining game than people think. With all the early games in the morning because of the tennis, for this being the afternoon game, a lot of people will be watching, so I think they'll be entertained. So Sunday night, I think we've got another classic. We've got the future, right? Like, you know, the New Jacks, this is the head of the New Jacks. It's Luck and Wilson. Kaepernick, RG3, and Cam against the old Jacks. And the head of the old Jacks is, you know, Manning, Breeze, Brady, you know, what do you say, Rodgers, Ben, Eli, you know, the more pocket guys, even though Ben's not really pocket, but he's older in terms of having Super Bowls. So this will be a fun Sunday night game. Last year the Colts put it on them when Manning came back, and I think what I like about the Colts is that they're not scared. And they're going to follow Seattle's way of playing them because they did it themselves. They're going to bump. They've got aggressive corners. But they don't have Mathis. And I think having, you know, not having Welker or not having Mathis, I think advantage Denver because Mathis is what switches it up when you can get that four-man pass rush and put pressure on Manning. So if you get pressure on Manning, throw him off his spot, it messes him up. So no Mathis. That's rough for the Colts. So I think Andrew Luck will be a star. The three receivers, even Hakeem Nicks, will show up. But I think at the end of the day, the Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders, Julius Thomas, Demarius, all these guys, ball, they're going to have a ball, and they're going to win a great Sunday night game. I'll say 31-28 Denver, and I'm going to go with Julius Thomas. Because they're going to lock those receivers, but they're not going to be able to stop him. I think Sanders will have a big game too. But Julius Thomas, two touchdowns, maybe 90 yards, six receptions. Julius Thomas is the fantasy stud. Broncos win 31-28.
So I would love to see this be the AFC Championship game, right?
Mm.
The Indianapolis Colts gave up on Peyton Manning, and it was the right thing to do, to pick Andrew Luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew Luck is their guy for 10 years.
You can't knock him. You can't knock him.
No, no, no. That was definitely the way to go. And now they meet opening game. Andrew Luck got a couple seasons under his belt. He's not a rookie anymore. Everybody knows he's Ron Studd. And now he gets to play the master.
No offensive line. Gosh, could they get him an offensive line, Ray?
Yeah. Didn't they learn their lesson with Peyton? I mean, they didn't give him much of a defense. But they always gave an offensive line, and they always gave him weapons. Speaking of weapons, I think it's very important that Reggie Wayne eventually comes back to the Reggie Wayne, or 80-90% of the Reggie Wayne of old, if the Colts are going to turn into an elite team. Because T.Y. Hilton looks like he's a player, and Colby Fleener and Allen are fine. They got to figure out what they're doing as you know in the running game, the Colts. They need to get that consistent
right.
running game
I think Bradshaw
going.
Will take that spot because Bradshaw is a real running back, and he doesn't, you know, twinkle-toe it around. He's, you know, done well and won a ring with the Giants. Bradshaw will take that spot from Trent Richardson. I don't think
okay.
Trent Richardson is the real deal at all.
So I think that my fantasy stud – so I think the Broncos win. I think they win a fairly high-scoring game. I think they win, let's say, 34-27. And my fantasy stud, he won't rush for a lot of yards, but he'll score a lot of touchdowns. I believe that with all those weapons, especially, you know, you lose Wes Welker, but you pick up Emmanuel Sanders, and you lose Eric Decker, but you get, you know, more experienced, and I think Julius Thomas is ready to
Maybe Cody Latimer steps up or Caldwell.
And maybe,
you know?
Yeah, maybe Cody Latimer. Maybe towards the middle of the season more for him because you got to learn how to play with Peyton Manning, and if you're a rookie, that's hard. But my stud is Monty Ball. I think he might run for 3 touchdowns. Maybe he gets 50 yards on the ground, but he just in the red zone punches it in.
Will be in order?
Yes, his assets are definitely in order, and he can have himself a ball. So, yeah, I like Monty as my fantasy stud of this game.
Okay. Wow. So that's, you know, listen, week one, Ray and Tay giving you some fantasy advice. Before we head out of here, Ray, you know, great show, great games, so exciting. Let's both pick, maybe not from any of these games we picked, or it could be anybody. Let's pick a fantasy sleeper. Somebody that is not like a top-tier player that is going to have a big day in fantasy. Give me somebody that might be a little off the radar for the fans. I'll let you go first, and then we'll close it up.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. You know who might do all right? In Philadelphia. I think they are going to score a lot of points. Right?
Yeah.
So if they score a lot of points, they're going to spread it out. So he's not exactly a sleeper in the sense that, you know, everybody knows who he is, but I got a feeling Darren Sproles might do some things. You know, Shady's going to get most of the burn, but on third down, special situations, in the open field, we know Darren Sproles can do some things. So look for Darren Sproles potentially to rack up a good fantasy.
Do they cover that spread?
Jacksonville.
Do they cover that spread? Like 11.5 or something, Philly?
Yeah, I think so. They're playing at home. I think they win by 14, 17. Yeah, they win big.
Got them in my survivor pool, so Philly's my survivor pick. So, okay, well, you know, I got to agree with you. I'm going to the same stadium, same two teams, and I think Philly is going to win this game. You know, something big. But I'm taking a Jaguar, and I'm taking Toby Gerhardt. I think Toby gets about 6 passes for PPRs, for the screen passes, about 20, 30 yards there. And I think he rushes for over 100 for about 22 carries and gets a touchdown. I think Toby Gerhardt is the fantasy stud in a loss for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cecil Shorts might not play. Maybe you'll see something from Marquise Lee. But Toby Gerhardt, man, he might even catch 6 to 8 balls. He's going to be the fantasy stud. That's my sleeper pick.
Wow. Okay. All right. I like that. Toby in a losing effort.
Toby, it's time. It is definitely time. And, you know, Jaguars are going to be a little bit, like we both kind of said, I don't know, you know, how many wins, but they're going to be a little bit better this year. They're going to be a little bit better. So, anyway. Great show, lots of fun. It's going to be a fun week one football weekend. Monday we'll be back a little bit earlier, 6 Eastern, because you got the doubleheader, the Giants at Detroit, and then the Chargers out here at the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, keep an eye out for those games on Monday.
Oh, and did you hear about Ellington?
I heard that.
Fire, yeah, because Ellington with his foot, he got an MRI with a specialist out here, so we'll see how if he can even go Monday night. We'll see. They still haven't.
Right,
you know,
he's a big TBD. He's get that extra day to rest, but yeah, doesn't
Cam
look
Newton
good right now.
Position. So Cam Newton, got to watch him if people want to play him or not. He's a big time fantasy decision. So great show, everybody. Thanks for listening. And
back Monday. Have a great sports
weekend. Enjoy the sports weekend. Out.